hope that you're the one. If not, you are the prototype.
Welcome back to the Black Is 10-Minute Break with yours truly, KC Lehman. We have a special edition of the 10-Minute Break today. This is the Black Men Speak edition. Joining us tonight are Chris Lehman, my other half, Yohanse, a.k.a. Merk80 of Merk80.com, Tash Mosley, talent manager and film producer, Aaron Wilson of 20th Century Fox, Troy Moore, or Triz, one-fourth of the CSI boys, and Ashawn James, who is with us, also known as Mr. CEO of the Black Is family. And tonight's topic is the Claire Huxtable prototype. What makes a woman wife material? So with that, I'm going to let the gentleman jump in. What makes a woman a wife?
That's a wonderful question. And I would venture to say that there's not one particular skill set of a woman that makes her a wife. It all depends on what you need as a man. Because what Chris needs, what Merk needs, what Aaron needs, what Ashawn needs, what Tash needs may not be the same thing that I need. You know, what they're looking for in a woman may not be the same thing that I'm looking for in a woman. So what makes my wife, you know, what made her be my, you know, the wife that I wanted was something that's totally different from what you and Chris may have, or something different from what Ashawn and his wife have, or Aaron and his wife. So I don't think that there's a particular, like I said, skill set. And Claire Huxtable is like a real high margin to set for a woman.
True indeed.
But I do believe it does start from a man's mother. And if you had a mother that was there every day and you saw how she was, whether she had a man or she didn't, or she was with your father or whoever, I think you kind of got a notion of what to look for when you became grown, because you got so used to how your mom treated you, how she raised you, and how you probably would want that woman to raise your kids or treat you as you got older. So I think it starts from the mother first. And then, you know, that's probably what, I know that's what I looked for in a wife, because I saw my mom work hard every day. I saw my mom raise me. I saw my mom do so many different things. So I can't really have an excuse. Or a woman can't really have an excuse to me for not doing anything, because I saw my mom do everything. So I looked for, that's what I look for when I look for a wife.
Yeah.
And I have to say, I'm sorry. I just wanted to explain. Part of the reason why I mentioned Claire Huxtable is because I've heard my entire life from several Black men, you know, Claire Huxtable, that would be my ideal wife. And I think a lot of women took away from that statement. I know for me, what I thought was, oh, well, she's a lawyer to her husband's doctor. Such a good compliment. They're a power couple. And I know today we see so many women, Black women specifically, who are, you know, all about being the independent new millennium woman. And so I feel like maybe a lot of us thought to ourselves, you know, that's what I need to be. I need a woman who makes my own money, can take care of myself, and be a compliment to a man in that way. But over time, I've had conversations with men and have found out that it's so much more than that. Like, her job was one thing, and it wasn't, that's definitely not a knock, but there was how she cared for her family, how she cared for her house, how she took care of herself, and all these other things about Claire Huxtable that made her kind of set the standard for the ultimate Black wife prototype. So with that.
Yeah, just to even co-sign on what you said, when you really break down the Claire Huxtable prototype of woman, wife, mother, she's an educated, strong Black woman who is caring, loving, and listens to her family. And is there for her family. I mean, if you can't just, that's the basic right there. Like, every woman should be able to handle those basic things in order to put herself into position to be wifeable, if I may make up a word.
Right.
and what Troy was saying about, you know, it comes from the mother, I would agree. But also, I'm going to say that I don't want my wife to be my mother.
Right.
You know, I got my mother to be my mother. So my mother's the one who's steadily telling me what I can and can't do till this day. You know, you don't necessarily want your wife to be as motherly to you like that. Mm-hmm. you know, yes, you know, she has to find her avenue to and her tricks and her Jedi, you know, skills to figure out a way to make you do some of the things you need to
Jedi
do.
Skills. That's called strong woman game.
Thank you. Thank you, Tash. And so, you know, with that, it's like, you know, in order to go back to like what a woman has to do to be a wife is I guess a woman in herself, it's up to the woman herself to make herself a wife. Like, it's like you got to foresee yourself, like, okay, the things that you need to do to make yourself a better person for yourself first before you can say, you know, I want to make myself presentable for a man to say, okay, she's wifey material. It's like, are you yourself? What do you think of you before I can think anything of you? You know, you got to love yourself first before I can love you. You know, and then you got to open yourself up to be loved. So, you know, like with my situation, me and my wife, we got a history. We go way back. You know, we've known each other almost 20 years, I think, you know. So, you know, and been in a relationship for like 14 of those years, you know, been married 5. So we kind of know each other a little bit, you know, to say the least. And even that still, we're finding out new stuff about each other every day. You know, every day is a different day. Like, oh, I didn't know you didn't like, you know, onions. Sorry, I just found that out. So, you know, it's just one of those things where it's like, and you're like, okay, you know, now I know. And then, you know, it's all about, it really comes down to, you know, communicating with one another and coming to that common accord to where it's like, okay, I think you, you know, not only do I would like to choose you to be my wife, but I would hope that you would choose me to be your husband. Mm.
Right. I would say with the Claire Huxtable, it is funny because a lot of Claire Huxtable I see in my mother is that she's has her own job. My mother was a teacher, but she was a real independent spirit. My dad never really challenged her to make her change. And she was always proud of the fact that she was her own person. And she let it be known a lot of the times that, you know, my husband lets me do what I want. I mean, not in full terms, but just kind of like my husband lets me be me. And someone that you want, I mean, you want a woman who, in terms as far as a wife, who knows herself and is comfortable with herself and wants to continuously grow as an individual, but is willing to learn some things about you and try to make you guys one couple. And it is a challenge. But that's part of being in a marriage. Like, are you up for the challenge? This is, you don't want to get with somebody, get married, and then 5 years later, like, oh, it didn't work out. You want to go into it feeling like, we know we want to do this for the long haul. This is a marathon, not a sprint. I'm not trying to impress or show up for any other couple. This is about us. Mm-hmm. I mean, and that's really important. I mean, you have friends who are married and they may have a particular status or their relationship seems like it's so perfect and you want to maybe get there, but it's not about that. It's not trying to be like somebody. It's your own relationship. This is something you and your spouse will have that is different from anybody else's.
Right.
So you need to make it your own and not try to have these aspects of, I guess, what the typical marriage is. I know for myself, one thing that was key was I wanted somebody who was going to be a partner. I didn't want the woman who's behind me. So to say, I'm like, I need somebody who we're going to be on equal footing. Like, we are in this together. I'm like, I have to carry all the weight. And then if something goes wrong, it's all my fault.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. We're in this together. We're both going to make mistakes. We're both learning. There's no manual of how to be a husband or how to be a wife. You know, I need somebody who is going to be my equal, per se.
Well said, man. 100% agreeance.
You just saying that because your wife is right here.
Right. She's not even across the table. She's like, I saw her gazing in your eyes.
I was not trying to make him nervous. But I will say that's part of the reason why I know we worked out as a couple is because Chris was not trying to change who I was as a person. Mm. And I knew from past relationships that that kind of relationship for me would never work.
I think it's worth noting that Claire Huxtable as a prototype is you know, a television fictional character. And we should think of her more as an archetype. I mean, she's a mother who's trilingual. She's gorgeous, has a pretty smile, high-powered lawyer in New York, and yet she has all the time in the world to stay home. It's not realistic. And so we should think about, like, what Ashan was saying, the qualities that she's educated, that she's loving, she has values, she has strong woman game, beautiful smile. And there is a bit of, you know what it is? And she's a partner. She's total equal, like what Chris was saying with Heathcliff. And she, you know what? The more I think about what makes Claire Huxtable so special, it's her ability to seduce. Like, she's really seductive. And that comes up in part with her beauty, but, like, it's mostly within, you know. It's like she gets this look in her eyes and you're like, oh God, you know, like, I have to do what she says. I think those are all things that, you know, would make a good wife for me. But, you know, I'm not putting Claire Huxtable up. The more I thought about this, I'm not going to put her up on a pedestal so that, you know, I expect my wife to be a high-powered attorney, speak, you know, four languages, and still be home for every waking second of our family life.
I just want to kind of throw this out there. And I guess this is kind of a question, I guess, posed to all the brothers here, is what is the one quality that Claire Huxtable possesses to you that then makes her the prototype? I want people, when they listen to this, to take something out, you know, of what we're actually discussing here and not try to focus on, you know, one necessary thing. Or maybe, because I think there's people out there who probably believe that, or even maybe some women out there who believe that, you know, the Claire Huxtable prototype is, I just have to be successful. That's it.
Right.
Let me just go strive to just kind of go make some money. And then after that, then guys, you know, then I should be desirable to all types of guys. And I don't think that that's what should be taken away from this, you know. Okay. And so that's why I just want to throw this out as to what is her one element.
It would be the seduction for me.
Seduction?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would say for me, with Claire Huxtable, it's not really about her wealth or any of her status. It's her relationship with her husband and her family that, and I don't know if it's something, I can't really describe it when it comes to, I guess, especially with Black women, they have their way of knowing that she lets Cliff lead in a way, but we all know that she runs, it's her house. You know, he feels that he gets to be himself. He gets to be the father. He gets to discipline. But you always notice when it came to her disciplining her kids, it was like, I'm a little more scared of mama than I am of daddy. Because daddy might just kind of, I'm funny and I'm going to discipline you, but mama might actually kill me. Right. So that's the quality I see with her.
For me, the quality that actually is going to lead me into this small tirade I'm going to go into is her ability to understand, or to meet an understanding of feminine power. And there's a lot of women, and I'm going to say straight up, a lot of Black women that think that having power means doing it like men do it. And she was able to conduct herself business-wise and all those things. And as you were saying, like the seduction and being motherly and being a disciplinarian and being no nonsense, but not having to, you know, because what if she was a corporate lawyer and he is a doctor and she makes, you know, 40 or 50,000 more than him. It doesn't mean that now I have to challenge your manhood. And there's a lot of women that I see who become well-educated, and they think that now that's a threat to men. And it's like, you're not threatening me unless you're saying that what you're able to do is a threat to me. You know what I mean? And so for me, even though she's not, Claire Huxtable isn't necessarily a fictional character, but another person that I think that is a real life version of that, as far as I can tell, is Michelle Obama. And, you know, one thing that I've told a lot of women that I've really kind of come to realize as I've gotten older is one of the things that I think you can really hurt a man with is if you don't believe in him. And when you see her, when you see Claire Huxtable stick by, you know, Cliff, and when you see Michelle Obama stick by Barack, it's an understanding of like, I believe in you. So that to me, that feminine power, at least in that belief, I know it was just supposed to be one, but that to me is what is, you know, because it's not about like, yeah, I want you to be strong and independent and have your own money and we're partners, but there's a union that happens where, you know, you believe in me and that helps helps me, you know, keep going. So that's what it is to me.
I'd have to say the quality in Claire, I think it was her strength, you know, is similar to what you were saying. It's her strength and, like I said, her ability to stand up on her own too and still yet, you know, be that wife and that mother, you know, to where she doesn't feel like I'm the boss or I don't need you. You know, we need each other kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Authoritative without being challenging.
Exactly. Thank you very much, sir. And just, you know, with that carrying on to our my own personal, you know, relationship with my wife is just like, I see similar traits in her. Now that we, you know, talking about the Claire Huxtable, you know, characteristics, is I see similar traits in her to where it's like, you know, she isn't that typical, you know, angry black woman, you know, but she doesn't take no mess, you know, and it's like a matter of you just being able to pick your battles and appropriately, you know, speak your mind and speak your opinion and get your views across without sounding ignorant and angry about it, about a situation that you may even passionately believe in. So it's like, you know, taking that from dealing with that on an outside basis, outside of the home, to bringing it to the home to where it's like, you know, you're not trying to boss your man around, you know, that kind of thing. You know, saying, you know, like you said, you know, support your man and be there for his ideas. You know, when, you know, just like women say that men don't listen, you know, when they come home and they want to get stuff off their chest and they say, you know, we're not listening to them. I think that door swings both ways where we may not always speak. We don't come home and speak everything that goes on at work, but there may be that one instance, you know, small or tiny where it's like, you know, I'm going to speak on this, you know, and if you're not giving me the proper feedback that I need at that time, then now I'm all turned off and defensive about it. It's like, well, you know, now you're not listening to me. I may not say you don't listen to me. That's not the term that a guy's going to use, but we just going to like, you know, we're going to drop it and it'll be done. Like, I'm not even going to talk about this no more because apparently you're not listening to me or whatever it may be, or you're not giving me the answer that I want, you know, for that particular situation. So it's like that, like I said, that door swing both ways where we got to listen to each other's problems, each other's emotions and stuff that's going on. Whereas a guy may have to do it every day, you know, a woman just got to be on standby for when the guy's like, here's my problem. I need you to listen and be ready, you know.
My thing with Mrs. Huxtable would be her adaptability, because it basically wraps up into what the whole panel has been saying up until this point now. In every situation, she was always, you know, able to react or do what the situation called for, whether it was dinner with her husband, whether it was dinner with her kids, whether it was dinner with work, whether it was dinner with the house. She was always able to plug in and be what was needed at that moment or at that time, whether it was talking to her son, whether it was talking to her daughter, whether anything. And I think her adaptability, you know, made her a jack of all trades all the way across the board, which is makes her so much more than everybody else, because you have women that are, you know, A plus in this area and D minus in this area and C plus in that area and a F over there. And then it's like, okay, you averaging out, you're a C because you got an A, a B, and a D, and an F or whatever. But with her, it was basically even way across the board, you know, just A's and B's. And that's what make that, to me, that's what made her so attractive and so made men think you want to attain that in a woman that you have, you know? So as a benchmark, it's a high one, but I think it's because she does everything so well, or they showed her doing everything so well, is what makes her the ace in the hole for me.
Yeah, and then to kind of piggyback off of what Troy is talking about, I would say that my quality that I found the most attractive in her was just her overall just demeanor and the way she was, which allowed her, to then still be authoritative, which allowed her to help deal with Cliff's craziness and to still be funny and laugh. Like, she still was a focal point of a lot of jokes that, mm-hmm. Came from her on the show.
Right.
Because I don't think any of it on. And the only reason why I even pose these questions to everyone is because I didn't hear anybody ever mention about what she actually did. I don't think it ever had to be with her actually being a lawyer or her, trying to make this amount of money, which is then why I'm thinking is, if she was a sanitation worker, would she still be, the prototype? If she was a, school cafeteria lady, if she worked in parking enforcement, like, does that change her, I don't necessarily want to put her on a pedestal, but does it change your ideology of her at all? Because that's what I want to get across. Like, okay. No one's actually mentioning anything about, like I said, like about her, like their status at all. Like, yeah, they had the brownstone in Brooklyn. Like, he's a doctor, she's a lawyer. You never saw them like ever having the need or want for anything, really.
Troy did mention how she like had excellence in a lot of different fields. Mm-hmm. And like, so excellence was her bar with her family, with her kids, their expectations. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, in a certain way, the status is one way to look at it, but just excellence, if you're going to be, a cafeteria lady, be the best cafeteria lady mm-hmm. you could be,
Right. Be a stay-at-home wife, then right. be top-notch in that.
I think as far as her field of her employment, I don't think that was basically, it was good, it was a good image to portray for the black community that mm-hmm. doctor lawyer, because you never really get to see that.
Definitely.
I mean, that was good, but if she was a sanitation worker, if she was, like you say, a cafeteria lady, I don't think that really matters, because at some point you're with someone and you're not really with someone for what they do. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Not a real relationship.
Yeah.
If you're with somebody for just what they do, 9 out of 10 is not gonna last. That's right. That's why I said with her, it was just like all the way across the board. So even if like he said, stay at home mom, whatever, the persona that she embodied was just like he said, excellence across the board. So it really wouldn't matter if she was, school bus driver, whatever, because it never came to about money or the status, or like, I need this type of woman to be next to me because I'm a doctor, or it was never about that. And when you look at her, you rarely saw her at work. And you saw Dr. Huxtable at the hospital. Mm-hmm. You never saw her in court. Never saw her, fighting cases or doing, lawyer paperwork mm-hmm. at home.
Nah,
you know what I'm saying? You never saw that. But everybody still knows she's a lawyer. Regardless. So it's just like
that's how most lawyers are now, just lawyers on paper.
Right? But I'm saying that even leads it to be more desirable, because if you are a lawyer but you can still do all these other things, it's just an A+ all the way around.
And because the thing I know that a lot of people like, one of the big points that people like to bring up about the Cosby Show was it was the first show that showed, two very successful African Americans together, like in a home. Like, the only other time we saw it before was with the Jeffersons, and all it was, what's his name's cleaners. And then that was it. And then basically Weezy was just, stay at home. Yeah, exactly.
With
just
a maid.
Stay at home with a maid.
With a maid.
Because he made all the money. He had a successful cleaners that he then, branched out or whatever. And it was the first time that it was, a joint couple that's, a lawyer and a doctor. And I want to make sure that, that listeners out there understand about, this whole Claire Huxtable like prototype. It's not necessarily that she was a lawyer. It was way bigger and way more beyond that. It actually came down to her actually as a person and a character on the show, and what was actually portrayed in her character.
I think the lawyer was just cherry on top.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. I think it worked because he was a doctor in their situation. I personally think it's because how she carried herself. She carried herself with class and respect. She never was, you never saw her put him down to the point where it made him feel like, I'm not shit. Like, his whole thing.
Or made
with
her
the,
look bad for marrying somebody who ain't shit.
Right. Like, his whole thing with the wanting to fix stuff, and he couldn't fix stuff for Jack. Mm-hmm. But she was never like, why are you always trying to fix stuff? I mean, God, you suck. But she was always like, why don't you call somebody else? I'm going to do it. All right, fine. You want to do it? Fine. And she already was like, he going to screw it up. And then when he screws up, I'll just call somebody to fix it. But she never, she let him try it. And when he failed, she might be like, give a little smile like, told you, we should have just called somebody. But she never was like, got this frustration look at like, why do you keep on doing this? I'm tired of you doing this.
She didn't belittle him.
Right. That's the thing.
She was patient.
There's two things that I real quick that I'm going to say. One is that for me, when I was younger growing up watching it, the lawyer and the doctor thing was really symbolic of intelligence, not just we make a lot of money.
Right.
I didn't even really know what a brownstone was. Like, I was too young to even understand that. But it was like, she's a lawyer, he's a doctor, they're smart. And so then that means that I can do something that's smart too, and it doesn't have to be like X, Y, and Z. So to me, it wasn't really about success, quote unquote, as much was like I'm able to do something with my mind and intelligence. And then also on that, in terms of them fixing stuff, one episode that I do remember that is almost kind of out of character was there was a I watched this show so much when I was a kid. We taped it. There was a episode where there was a snake in the basement. And so she kept getting scared and thinking that it was there. She was screaming and yelling and all that stuff. And he had to go with his son to go and get it. And it's like, so she's a lawyer, but she's still, again, she's still a woman. There's still certain things that it's like, I'm going to leave this to you to do because this is your realm. Like, I still get scared of snakes and spiders and stuff like that. So it's not like she was just going to roam around thinking that she could do everything and anything that that a man could not do. So there's a lot of times where there's, again, just women that think that or portray themselves like, I don't need a man. And it's like, well, then you don't need me. And it's like, you know, if there's a woman that has all these things, but it's like there's still some things that I want you there for or need you for, then that's when you feel like, okay, we can, you know, form like Voltron in here real quick because, you know, that's how it works. So
excellent point.
I want to pose a question really quick as we start to wrap up. What about the issue of submission?
I don't like a girl that's too submissive. I don't. If you're gonna ask me to lead or make a decision, then I'm gonna make a decision, and then hopefully you're gonna either agree with it. But if you're gonna, you know, say, oh, whatever you want, do it, whatever, then it's kind of like, well, you have a mind too. Like, what do you want? Like, if you tell me what you want and I know what I want, then that makes it a little easier to make a decision. But if you just say do anything and then I do something and it turns out wrong, like, then it's going to make me look bad. So, you know.
I think the issue of submission has been brought up by Ashawn, Merc, Chris, and Dub. Like, for Dub, her disposition. Ashawn, her Jedi woman mm-hmm. games. For Merc, the femininity. And for Chris, the good partner. Claire Huxtable was in no way submissive. But there were times when, for the sake of the peace and the patience, and she knew who she was dealing with in Heathcliff, that she just seemingly took the backseat. I mean, she had the plumber's number on speed dial. She was ready to call him, but she knew she had to get through whatever he was trying to do. Mm-hmm. And I think submission is just such a—it's a dirty word for me. Like, I hear it and I cringe, but there is something called soft power. And there is something, you know, when you have sleight of hand and you know how to play somebody, I think, and she definitely had that. And that's strong woman game, in my opinion. Definitely. And I think that's important for all women, even my women friends who are married. I can see when I was like, oh, yeah, they, you know, have really good woman game. And it's important to have that.
Okay. Any other final thoughts?
When this show was first started, I know most of us might agree, but I don't think any of us was looking at Claire Huxtable. We was looking at Denise, probably a little more. So, but as we've gotten older, we realize that it's all about Claire Huxtable. So,
I've always liked older women since I was younger.
See, now that's another topic altogether. Another topic altogether.
Nah, real quick, before you close out, as far as the submission thing, I think there's a particular time and a particular place where both parties have to acquiesce to the other, and that's up to you to figure out when you should do it and when you shouldn't do it. If it's something that you feel strongly about, you know, you don't give ground. And your partner should understand, you know, what you're passionate about
and what means most to you, and they will understand that that's when you take the back seat and let him lead, or vice versa.
Right.
That's all.
Well, thank you, brothers. Thank you for joining us as well, and join us again for the next Black Is 10 Minute Break. Peace. Yeah.